At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Browns folks heading to Colorado to check out the pro day for the Buffaloes. Not only just to look at Shedeur Sanders, but to look at my guy that I want in the draft, number 2 overall, Travis Hunter.
So that name's starting to come up more and more, man. More and more people are hopping on the bandwagon with you on Travis Hunter.
Welcome to the party, pal.
I'm starting to hear that coming from a lot of places, but it's always with the caveat of going, you know, there's really not a lot of smoke around Travis Hunter going 2 overall. So I wonder, like it's kind of that caveat where it's like, no one's saying this, but, and if enough people start saying this, we can't say no one's saying it anymore.
I feel like if you draft Travis Hunter, you're getting 2 for 1. You get 2 players for 1 pick, right? You get a receiver and a corner. I am all about multiplying the picks.
Efficiency.
Okay? Yeah.
You go out there and you get yourself a kicker and a punter.
Right.
It's all about efficiency, maximizing roster spots.
By the way, you heard Jeff Thomas mention it in his 2020. We mentioned earlier in the show as well. Joe Milton, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, he was dealt to the Dallas Cowboys this morning. This from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. Because I was lamenting how I really would have liked if the Browns were going to be in on Joe Milton at some point. According to Jordan Schultz, the Browns were not. Teams that showed interest included the Raiders, the Eagles, the Giants, Steelers, and the Cowboys. That again from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. So I'm not salty. I mean, look, I'm not sitting here saying that Joe Milton was going to come in here and he was going to be a franchise guy, but I am of the belief at this point that I just think that these veterans are a waste of time. I don't think any of them move the needle for you from a win-loss perspective this season, other than maybe you'll sell some jerseys in the team shop and sell some fake belief amongst your fans that you actually may win more than 3 games this year. So I'm of the belief you go the Kenny Pickett route or the Joe Milton route, and you get one of these guys who's not really seeing a lot of the field these days, but is on a rookie contract. You bring him in, you know, throw a little something against the wall. Maybe Kevin Stefanski can sprinkle some magic fairy dust out there in Berea and turn one of these guys into an actual quarterback. Like, that's where I'm at. Because you go the veteran route, and this includes Kirk Cousins, too. And again, coming up at 11:20, we're going to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the Kirk Cousins situation and the ever-evolving roller coaster ride that this thing has been. I just feel like even if you bring in Kirk Cousins, I don't know that moves the win-loss needle all that much for the Browns. At this point, I'm indifferent. Kirk clearly is on the back nine of his career. It's a Band-Aid. It's not a long-term solution, not by any stretch. I don't know that it's a multi-year solution for the Browns. And I don't know. I kind of just am not interested in it. It does nothing for me.
This may leave you mildly exasperated because I've known you well enough to know that this is the direction it'll go. Kirk Cousins, one thing you can say about Kirk Cousins, they'll be watchable on offense with him at quarterback. Like, it will be a watchable product. And that's the exasperated look that I was waiting to see.
Well, you know, you know what? The bar is low, and I guess I should settle for watchable at this point.
Right.
Because I'm really used to watching unwatchable
exactly.
football.
And that's where my bar is for the 2025 season, because I've seen where this direction is going. I have seen how these guys are not acting with any kind of desperation in any way that screams, this is the direction it's going. Let's have this at least be watchable.
Well, Jameis Winston was watchable in Denver, but he threw two pick sixes, and the Browns lost by 20 or something like that. Like, it was watchable. He set a franchise record. I think it was 498 yard passing yards. Like, it was watchable.
It was.
Don't mean it was good. So I just remind folks that are looking for the watchable bar to be met. Watchable don't equal good.
Well, but again, your expectations should move with your reality.
Well,
that's another, like I've realized at the rightful age of 36 years old, when I was a kid, I was going to be the starting third baseman for a professional baseball team. At the age of 36, those expectations have moved. Now we're happy if we're playing.
Well, I would hope so.
Now we're happy if we're playing third base for a local softball team. Like, that's how life should work. It's the same thing with where the Browns are right now. Like, you can set your expectations at Super Bowl. The evidence in front of you says that that's going to be unlikely.
Yes.
And while you're going to hear that in training camp over and over again, you will realize that probably unlikely. So your expectations at the bar needs to move down to something that's actually able to be met.
So the problem I had last year was my expectation was 10, 11 wins, make the playoffs, win a playoff game. They won three games, and they spent $300 million to win three games.
$100 million for each win.
Pretty sure that wasn't the plan. So my expectation this year, I guess, is I'm back to where my expectation has been for the bulk of the last 26 years with that franchise, and that is watchable. Just put a product on the field that just makes me not want to stab my eyeballs out.
My expectation is watchable. The second part of that as well is at the end of the season, you walk out going, that's a franchise pillar, that's a franchise pillar, that's a franchise pillar, and we've got three quality starters, and we've got a couple quality starters to go as well, and the arrow is back to pointing up.
Well, I think the arrow is pointing up now, but only because that's pretty much the only direction it can point right now. It can't get much worse, and I realize I'm talking about the Browns, and I'm saying it can't get much worse because, as we know, it can always get worse. But I do sincerely believe, all sarcasm aside, I do feel like the arrow is up. I kind of feel like, okay, last year in this current whatever you want to call this, this is as bad as it's going to get. Like, they're going to be better this season. I don't know how much more better from a win-loss perspective, but it's going to be better. The over-under, I think, is 4.5. That's what the folks in Vegas that do that. I am taking the over on that. I think that's easy money. Now, if the Browns draft the quarterback at 2, which could be Shedeur Sanders, I'm against it, but they could do it.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If they trade for Kirk Cousins, I fully expect that number to move up, to go to 5.5. I don't know if it goes to 6.5, but I could see it going from 4.5 to 5.5.
It is now, thanks to our friends at Desert, it is now at 5.5.
Oh, it is 5.5.
It's up to 5.5.
Okay, so what you're saying is I should have got in on at 4.5.
Right.
I blew it.
Well, that happens to the best of us.
Okay, because I want nothing to do with a 5.5 line.
It feels right.
I want nothing to do with that particular line.
It feels like they know things. It feels like they're smart out there. Like
they know the real reason Kirk Cousins came to Cleveland last week.
Like for some reason.
By the way, I just want to point out, he was on the west side of Cleveland. He was not spotted in Strongsville scouting Bill Cowher's house. I just want to point that out to people.
I don't know. I haven't checked on it. Did somebody cut the grass?
By the way, there have been a lot of really great Cleveland sports running gags. I would have to say the Bill Cowher house in Strongsville gag, best bit going.
Oh, and the fact that he came on, I mean, that was...
It is ageless.
That like had to be like 3 years ago he came on, and we used to greet him all the time and say, Bill, how's the house in Strongsville? You know, all that. Cause, and he just leaned right in with that.
I don't know. I haven't checked on it. Did somebody cut the grass?
It was just such a perfect one-liner.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, that is an ageless gag. We'll be able to use that for at least the next... We got at least another 20 more years of that coming to us where we can squeeze every ounce out of that we can. Bill Cowher's house in Strongsville. So, yes, can confirm Kirk Cousins did not scout Bill Cowher's non-existent house in the city of Strongsville.
In the city of Strongsville, Ohio.
I don't know. Kirk Cousins strikes me as a Westlake guy.
I could see all of it with him. The question that I have is, okay, are you picking up the family from Atlanta and you moving them up to Cleveland and doing all that stuff, or are you just going to go do the condo life and hang up here for 18 weeks and or with training camp and everything else, probably closer to, you know, what, 24 weeks, 25 weeks? Like, are you just going to go that route and keep... Because you got the in-laws in Atlanta, and I don't know how much he's, you know... When you live closer to your in-laws, sometimes you either come to like them more or like them less. Everyone in life.
I think it depends how old the kids are. If they're really, really young, you love them because you got babysitters.
That's a good point.
And this is coming from a guy who does not have kids.
It's a really good point.
I have brothers and sisters with kids. And that was a thing in the family. Grandma, mom and dad being grandma and grandpa my brother and sister.
Can you keep an eye on that? we got tickets.
We just realized we have some tickets for Saturday night. What are you doing Saturday night? What time is that Saturday night mass wrap up?
Can you watch them? Because if you don't, they might be living outside. Because we can't do this any longer.
By the way, I saw an article this morning that appalled me. My sister posted it, where it was about a mother that was bragging about how she lets her kids run around in public. Like, just let your kids run around in public. So I responded to my sister, this is why I hate kids, especially young kids, because of parents like that. Because every time I go to the grocery store, there's kids running around the grocery store, unsupervised. They're yelling. They're screaming. Thankfully, they're not grabbing produce and starting a food fight, but it's obnoxiously awful. Or when I go to a department store or anywhere in public, I see these young kids just running around like animals. And I'm like, where are the parents?
Where are your parents?
And why is someone not snapping a belt in their hand to get the kid in line? I'm not saying go the corporal punishment route, okay? I'm not advocating for that. But I do feel like there is something to be said for some appropriate fear.
Every so often, a message shall be sent.
You know what I mean?
A message should be sent.
A little appropriate fear can go
along. I can't get behind that one. That's a little much. That's a smidge much.
Appropriate fear?
Appropriate fear, yes. But belt snapping, a little much.
What, snap? That's how you create the appropriate fear. You take the belt in your hand and you snap it. And so they see you snap it and they get in line real fast.
From two guys who have zero children.
Right.
Parenting.
Listen, I've seen this work. I've seen it work. I'm not saying you use it. I'm not advocating for that. That's wrong. But if you can psychologically make them think you might, not the worst idea. Maybe next time I go to the grocery store, I don't got a bunch of rugrats running around while I'm trying to pick out bananas and tomatoes and lettuce. And lunch meat. Hey, listen, that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Coming up next on Baskin and Phelps, that damn ball and why it keeps coming into my grass.
Actually coming up on Baskin and Phelps, D. Orlando Ledbetter. He's going to join us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with the latest on the never-ending saga of Kirk Cousins. We're going to find out, was he scouting houses in Westlake? Next on The Fan.